All right, so we've been talking about hearing and ministering God's voice, and we said that the Lord really wants us to be those who hear, and not only hear but understand His voice. We said there's there's a number of ways which we can grow in hearing God's voice and in our confidence in hearing His voice. One of the ways is just to become an inquirer, just to become a person who ask God's questions. It should be a regular part of our lifestyle to be asking questions of the Lord. When we read the scripture, we don't understand what something means. Ask the Lord, Lord, show me what this means. Teach me what it means, and wait to and listen for the answer. One of the ways that we can become an inquirer is just to practice asking the Lord a question before we go to bed at night. I mean, it's really a powerful practice to grow into hearing His voice. Because the thing is, the Lord wants to be in intimate fellowship with us. He wants us to, He created us for a relationship with Him. And what relationship would, no relationship would be good at all if there was no communication, if we, if there wasn't, talking and listening to one another. And the Lord wants that. And so we said one of the most powerful ways to grow in hearing and understanding God's voice is by ministering that voice to others. And there's two main ways that we do that. One is by prayer ministry, hearing God's voice, and then praying in accordance with what we feel like He's leading us to speak. And then the other is prophetic ministry, which we started looking at last week. We did an introduction to prophetic ministry, and prophetic ministry is basically just hearing the voice of the Lord for another person and then speaking to them what you feel like the Lord is speaking to you. And so because prophetic ministry is one of the listed the gift of prophecy is one of the listed gifts of the Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12. But I'm of the belief that that those gifts, while we might have one or two in particular that we move in more than the other, it's not restrictive. It's not like you say, okay, you get one, you get another, and that's the only thing you want to function in. No, what the word says is that the Spirit gives those gifts as needed for us as we're being part of the body. He gives us the gift that we need in that particular moment. But of all the gifts, the one that it says to desire more than all the others is what? Prophecy. Why? Because prophecy is something that it's a way that the Lord encourages His body is by us ministering prophetic words to one another. It's by us hearing from the Lord and speaking what we hear to somebody else for the purpose of mostly for the purpose of encouraging them. And we saw from the passages in Hebrews last week that we're told to encourage one another. How often? Daily. And all the more as we see the end approaching. So all the more as we see the world going haywire, we're going to need to encourage each other and to do so by ministering what the Lord is speaking to us for the sake of others. Now, we said there's really only one scriptural guideline in prophetic ministry, and that is 1 Corinthians 14:3, which is at the top of your page. But the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. All right, so whenever we minister a prophetic word to somebody, it should fit into one of those three categories. It should either be strengthening, meaning edifying, to build them up in their faith. It should be encouraging, or it should be comforting. All right, so do we, so we looked at this last time, but the thing is, we don't prophesy for the sake of foretelling the future for somebody else. That's not one of the scriptural guidelines. Not that prophetic words don't sometimes tell the future, but in the new covenant, that's not. The gift of prophecy of us all prophesying to one another is not for the purpose of predicting the future. It's not for the purpose of correcting somebody or calling out their sins, okay? It's for one of three purposes, either to strengthen them, to edify them, to encourage them, or to comfort them, okay? And then we also saw in the passage, another passage from 1 Corinthians 14, that this is something that we can all do. Now, why is it that we can all prophesy? Because we, if we're a Christian, we're going to have the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, which means we can hear the Lord's voice. He speaks to us, for our own benefit, but also for the benefit of others. And so every single Christian, because every single Christian has the Holy Spirit, every single Christian can hear the voice of the Lord and then minister that voice to others. So this is not something for a special class of Christians. You don't have to be a prophet in order to prophesy. I think there's a scriptural distinction between the two, which we'll get into that more next week. Okay. But in general terms, there's three components to a prophetic word. Okay. There's revelation, there's interpretation, and there's application. Now, the revelation is basically what you get when you ask God for a word of encouragement for somebody. And so this that, you know, so sometimes the Lord just kind of drops a prophetic word into your spirit for somebody else, right? But most of the times we get these words as a result of asking for them. You ask and we will receive. Seek and we will find. Knock and the door will be open to us. Ask the Lord, be persistent in seeking him for the sake of encouraging others, and knock, just don't give up. And so the revelation is what comes to us when we're asking for a word of encouragement for somebody else. Now, a revelation could be a whole lot of different things, okay? It can be just a picture in your mind's eye. It can be a verse of scripture, a chapter and verse. It could be a song. It could be just a word. I mean, there's all kinds of things that will come to us when we ask for an encouraging word from somebody else. And that thing that pops into our mind first when we ask for it is generally the revelation. Now that's not necessarily then what it is that we're supposed to speak to people, because what we saw last time and what we'll continue to see today is that the Lord rarely speaks to us in a very sort of plain way. In other words, generally the Lord speaks to us in such a way that we have to seek him for clarification on what he means. And why does God do that? Why does God speak to us in such a way that we have to seek him in order to understand what it is that he's saying? He wants to draw us in to a lifestyle of conversation with him, of pursuing and hearing and his voice, and then ministering his voice to others. And so often, the revelation is not what we're supposed to speak to the person we're ministering prophetically to. Often we'll have to just ask the Lord, okay, what does that mean? Here's what I feel like I'm getting. Here's what I feel like I'm seeing. Now, what does that mean for this particular person? And then see what he shows you. And so, that's the interpretation. Now, sometimes you won't get an interpretation. Sometimes you are just supposed to get what it is, the revelation to somebody else, and they'll know what it means. Okay, so a lot of this is, there's no science to this. Giving a prophetic word is more of an art than a science. Okay, and a lot of it is contingent upon us just being willing to step out in faith and risk ourselves for the sake of doing it. Because lots of times, some of the most powerful prophetic words I've ever gotten for people, I came really close to discounting them, because they felt like they were just really off the wall. But in pressing through and just saying, okay, here's what I feel like the Lord's showing me, it was very powerful for them. But it started out as something that would be very easily dismissed. And so when we're asking for a prophetic word for somebody, just realize that the Lord wants to show us something for them. Okay. He wants to give us something for them. And then finally, the third thing is the application. The application is, it's just, how does this prophetic word apply in somebody's life? And that's almost always up to the person who's receiving it to apply it. Okay. There's been a lot of prophetic words that I've gotten over the years that didn't mean anything to me at the time. And so I just kind of put it on the back burner. And it was, a few years later, all of a sudden I remember, whoa, this is what that was talking about. And then it's time to apply it, whatever it might be. Okay, so three aspects of a prophetic word, three components: revelation, interpretation, and application. All right, so now just Let's start off with just a word of caution, okay? Because we are imperfect filters through whom this stuff comes, right? Well, speak for yourself. As she said, very imperfect. Because we are imperfect filters, our it's come, yeah. So when we hear something from the Lord, it's coming through with the filter of our soul, right? Our mind, our will, and our emotions. And all three of those things are being conformed to the image of Jesus over time. And so we got to recognize the fact that that we're not perfect filters through whom this comes, a word from the Lord. And so there is a potential for error in interpreting, in hearing from the Lord and interpreting it, what it is that he says, and especially in how to apply it. But in recognizing that, that's why the guideline of 1 Corinthians 14:3 is so important. If you feel like you're getting a word for somebody and you give it to them and you make sure that it's one of those things, three things, it's either strengthening, encouraging, or comforting, and you're off by a little bit, okay, no big deal. No harm, no foul, right? You're still going to give them a word of encouragement, and it's so it's not always going to be, we're not always going to get it exactly right. In fact, the next passage on your screen is on your page is 1 Corinthians 13:9 says, "For we know in part, and we prophesy how? In part." We never have the full picture. Okay, only God has the full picture, and so we'll always keep that in mind when we're ministering a prophetic word to people. I think one of the reasons why so many pastors in the church are opposed to prophetic in their churches is people come to them and give them prophetic words as if it was the word of God himself and expect them to follow that word to the T, or else or else the pastor or the leader is in rebellion against God's word. Well, that's never the way that we want to present this. In fact, we always teach, we don't introduce a prophetic word by saying, "Thus says the Lord." In fact, there's only one place in the New Testament where a prophet actually says that, not in those specific words, but and in that place, that prophet actually got the details of what he was saying wrong. And in the Old Testament, they did say, "Thus says Yahweh," and "Thus says the Lord." Here's what we're saying. And the reason they did that was because there was prophets of Baal, there was prophets of Asherah, there was all these other false prophets, and so they said that in order to identify themselves as a prophet of the one true God of Israel. Okay, well, we don't do that. That's not part of our New Testament, New Covenant gift of prophetic utterance. We always want to be humble when we're doing this because we know in part and we prophesy in part. We never had the full picture. Plus, we are imperfect filters through whom these words come. All right. So to properly interpret prophetic revelation, we need to really depend on the Lord and not rely on formulas. I mean, a lot of times people try to, rely on formulas or methods of interpretation, and but the thing is, God speaks to each of us uniquely. God knows how we're wired. He knows how we think. He knows what our history is. He knows just the way we the way we process information, and so every one of us is going to hear from the Lord a little bit uniquely. Catherine, for instance, how would you say that you get revelation? Is it mostly in what form? Like in picture form, or how is it? Is there a particular way that you get stuff that would characterize how God speaks to you uniquely?
Pictures and words just getting dropped.
Any words getting dropped in? How about you, Melissa? Is there a particular way that you?
Yeah, I usually just a thought. It'll just be a thought that comes to me, like just out of nowhere, or it's actually persistent. Like it'll keep coming up. That's where I like need to move on it.
Well, right. And there's so really there's two ways, main ways that the Lord speaks to me. One is He'll give me scripture, chapter and verse of scripture, so specifically, John chapter 4, verse 14. And I'll go and look it up and I'll say, okay, Lord, how does this apply to this person that we're ministering to? And then the second, another way that the Lord speaks to me, which He's done it a lot, is I'll, is when you're ministering prophetically to somebody and you're in front of them, I'll look at that person and they remind me of somebody else in my past for some reason. And I'll say, Lord, what is it about that person that you want me to, that you're trying to show me? And he'll show me something. And then I'll speak it to them. And then usually after I've spoken to them, I look at that person again and they don't remind me of that person in my past at all anymore. It's just the Lord, it's just one of the ways that I've learned over time. That's one of the ways that the Lord speaks to me. But even in that, he's engaging me in conversation because I have to ask him, okay, what is it about this person who that you're trying to speak to me for the one I'm giving this word to? Okay. So anyway, we're all unique, huh? 414 is what? Okay.
Whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will come in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life.
All right. That's a good word for all of us, right? All right. Yeah. So the only way that we're ever really going to grow in understanding the no other way to put it is our God language, how God speaks to us. The only way we're going to grow in that is how? Is by listening for it and ministering it to others. I mean, we learn over time how the Lord speaks to us, and we become confident over time in that. I'll never forget the first time that the Lord showed me. We were in. I think I told you that back in 1999, we were introduced to prophetic ministry, and then we went and did this prophetic ministry training class that the folks from Morningstar were doing at the church in Somerville, and so we were practicing, and there's and I didn't nobody really told me about this seeing somebody else in another person, and so I was looking at this kid. He was sitting up front and minister. We were ministering prophetically to him. It was just a training environment, right? And I looked at him, and he reminded me of a guy I went to high school with that lived in our neighborhood, young man. And I looked at him, and I said, "Okay, Lord, what about this person? Do you want me to minister to him?" And then I remembered that his father was a dentist, and so I got this word about him being a dentist. And in the scripture, teeth often represent relationship because they're aligned to one another. And so I gave him an interpretation of what I was getting about him being a dentist based on teeth. What's up? Isn't that weird? I mean, so he was just getting more and more shocked. Well, turns out he was actually in dental school, this young man. And the word about relationship ministered to him because he was going through some difficulty in this group of relationships, and that was like the Lord just getting my attention, like, whoa, this is really, well, first of all, it's real. Second of all, you just never know how these things are gonna come to you. But what we can be certain of is what does the Lord want to do for that young man in particular? Wants to encourage him, wants to strengthen him in his faith. Wants to comfort him. And what's so remarkable about it is the Lord wants to use us in order to do it. I mean, that's amazing, really. In fact, when to earnestly desire, we talked about this last week, to earnestly desire the gift of prophecy is, could literally be translated to lust after. To really be so hungry for it. So, Lord, I want to be so I create this hunger in me, this desire in me to be able to encourage the people around me, and He's going to do it because that's what He wants to do. Now, Like I said, oftentimes when we're seeking a prophetic word for another person, the Lord gives us something that's just really strange. And that happens in our life too. The Lord uses strange things in order to get our intention. And example of that is a famous one in Exodus chapter 3. Says, now Moses, Exodus 3:1. Now Moses was tending to the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire within a bush. Okay, now that's pretty different, isn't it? Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. And Moses thought, this is different. I will go over and see this strange sight. Why the bush does not burn up? When the Lord saw that he'd gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And so, what did the Lord do? He put something really strange in Moses' path. And Moses, it got his attention. He went over. God didn't speak to him, just, hey, Moses, let me tell you. And what God did was got his attention from something strange. Moses diverted his path over to go and look at it. And then the Lord spoke to him out of the bush. Okay, so the Lord wants to get our attention. He wants to, often we have to interrupt our what it is we're in the middle of often in order to minister prophetically to somebody else. Now, of course, there's always going to be, there's situations where when in churches that do prophetic ministry where you have appointments and stuff and people become very intentional, but in terms of everyday life. We have to be willing to allow the Lord to interrupt us in what we're doing in order to hear his voice and minister that voice to others. And often he'll get that, he'll get our attention by just putting something strange in our path, and God's goal is to continually draw us closer and closer into intimacy with him. He wants us to be those who he can get our attention. When we're in the middle of doing something else, and so one of the things that God does in order to draw us into this lifestyle of conversations is he often speaks to us in riddles and with symbolism. He wants our default position to be asking him, Lord, what do you mean by that? That'll be a question that we're asking all the time. Lord, what do you mean by that? When we're reading the scripture, Lord, what do you mean by that? When we're here, think we're, hearing something or we see something unusual happens in our life, Lord, what do you mean by that? And then to listen for his answer, because he is going to answer. And so he wants us to wait on him and to be willing to rely upon him. Okay. All right, now. One of the things we want to do is to realize that, interpreting prophetic revelation is really more of an art than it is a science. Okay, it's not like you can say, okay, here's a set list, here's a set formula of how the Lord speaks, because he's going to be speaking in a variety of different ways. Now we can get used to the way that he speaks to us, but we always want to understand that this is an art, not a science. Now, one of the main ways that we can understand what the Lord is speaking, interpret what he's speaking, is through scriptural symbolism. The Bible is full of symbolic meaning, okay? Things that are given us symbols that have meaning. And the Bible is the more sure word of prophecy. Look at the next page. I mean, next passage, 2 Peter 1:19. We also have the prophetic message as something completely reliable, and you will do well to pay attention to it as to a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things, for prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Okay, so, our main tool for interpreting prophetic revelation is the scripture. Just like we said when we were talking about hearing God's voice, what's the main way that we hear his voice? And it's not even like 55% being the main way. It's like 95% being the main way. The main way that we hear the voice of the Lord is through the scripture, is by reading the Bible. You know, if we want to be basically, you know, the best way to grow in hearing the voice of the Lord is by reading the word. You know, the more we read the word, the better we read the word, the more we're going to hear God's voice in our life, because the word is living and active. And so, you know, so what we want to understand is that prophetic revelation is not given for the sake of replacing scripture. It doesn't do that, okay? It's not for establishing doctrine. We do that from you know, from the word. And you know, and therefore all prophetic utterance should be given and received through the filter of the scripture. That, you know, that's one way that we can be sure, not sure, but we can be more sure that that what we're giving is accurate. We give it through you know, the 1 Corinthians 14:3 guidelines, but we also want to give it through the filter of scripture. Now, what I mean by that is the Lord is never going to speak to us in a way that contradicts the scripture. All right. If somehow we feel like we're getting a word from the Lord that somehow contradicts what the scripture says, then what we're receiving is not coming from the Lord. Now, that doesn't mean that he won't, and he does often speak to us in ways that contradict our present understanding of the scripture in order to lead us into a newer, deeper understanding of the scripture. That's happened to me a lot. You know, it's the Lord just speaking something to me and then causing me to look and search out the scripture in a little bit different way. Yeah.
The Lord may not point to specific scripture necessarily, right? Because they're not, it may be a biblical truth, like
Yeah.
forgiveness. I mean, the underlying foundation.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, so what's the underlying what underlies the scripture in terms of truth goes is God himself, right? And so just like God's never going to speak contrary to scripture, God's never going to speak contrary to his nature of what he is. And so if we're, you know, if we're hearing a word that it feel like we're getting a word from somebody that's not going to that's going to not going to be merciful, it's not going to be compassionate, right? Then we can pretty much gauge that word against the character of God in determining whether or not to give it, or whether or not we feel we're hearing the Lord correctly. Okay, but because the scripture, you know, we want to give these words through the you know, through the filter of scripture, you know, scripture does give us a lot of symbols that have scriptural meaning. For instance, you know, sheep. If you get a prophetic, you know, if you see a picture of a pasture full of sheep for somebody, you know, what might that mean for them? That they have a gift as a shepherd, because sheep means God's people, right? God's flock, usually in the scripture. Snow, you know, what does snow mean in the scripture? Purity, right? You know, gold also is purity. Water is the ministry of the Holy Spirit, washed by the water of the Word and the Spirit. Wind is, you know, can speak of the Holy Spirit. You know, so if you're ministering to somebody prophetically, you see their, you know, their hair being blown by the wind. Hey, the Spirit's moving in their life. Okay, you know, that's we can be relatively confident on the basis of what the scriptural symbolism is, and what it is, how we should interpret what it is that we're seeing. All right, but we want to be careful to seek the Lord every time and not rely on formulas, okay? Now, a good example of that would be, look at the next passage, Numbers 21:9. It says, "So Moses made a bronze snake and put it up on a pole, and when anyone was bitten by a snake and looked at the bronze snake, they lived." All right, so generally in scripture, what would a snake mean?
Evil.
Evil, like, yeah, the evil one, you know, be representative or symbolic of the serpents, Satan, right? But here's a case where actually Moses was told to make a bronze snake, put it up on a pole, and then as everyone looked on it, out on it, in this case, what happened to him? They got healed, right?
We were told to make this.
Yeah, the Lord told him to make it. Yep. Moses made a bronze snake, put it on a pole. And so, okay, so, and even, you know, in contemporary symbolism, you know, the sign of the, you know, the medical association is what? There's a snake on a pole, right? So, but so just because you get a snake doesn't necessarily mean that it's something bad, all right? That's why I'm saying we don't want to be formulaic in what we're doing. In fact, look at the next passage, John 3:14. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. And so, so how does Jesus interpret the snake in the wilderness? He says, that's me. I'm lifted up on the cross because everyone who looks to the cross will be healed. And so anyway, just don't
stuck.
Yeah, don't get stuck and be formulaic. All right, so, you know, like I said, when we're talking about interpreting God's voice, you know, and we want to grow in understanding his voice, you know, it's so important to be a reader of the word. And so, you know, the key to interpreting scriptural symbolism is knowing God's word, being familiar with it. All right, now, God will use contemporary symbolism, okay? Things that, you know, that we're used to that aren't necessarily in the scripture. You know, vehicles, for instance, will often represent ministries. You know, cars might be a personal sort of ministry. A bus might be a congregational ministry. A plane might be a national or international ministry. And so, you know, the Lord is going to use what he needs to in order to get our attention. He's going to speak to us in a way that, I'll just give you an example. All right, so we were doing ministry, prophetic ministry, for this young woman, and as I prayed, I saw water going down a drain, okay? But the water was going down in the reverse, you know, instead of going clockwise, it was going counterclockwise. And so what I still to this day, I hadn't looked this up, but what I'd always thought was that, you know, in the Southern Hemisphere, that the water goes backwards. It is true that it does. Okay. Oh, really? Cool. Well, I'll be. Okay. So that is true. All right. So I thought that it was true, but as I saw this picture in my mind, I heard South America. And so I said to the girl, I said, hey, you know, I'm getting South America for you. And I feel like the Lord, you know, wants you to know that he's got you in that. What turned out the next week she was going to South America to do a ministry trip and was gripped with fear over it. And so, you know, that was, I mean, so that's how wild this can be, right? You know, because I saw in my mind's eye water going down the drain backwards, the Lord encouraged this young woman and broke the fear off of her. And so, you know, so different things you see, like, you know, ship's captain might show authority, a nurse, you know, might show healing. Anyway, just pay attention, you know, seek the Lord on what it is that he means and realize that he's going, you know, yes, the predominant way he's going to use, speak to you in symbols is through the scripture, but contemporary symbolism as well. That's gonna happen. All right. Now, believe it or not, the Lord often speaks in puns or in wordplay. All right. Turn over to the next page. This is an example from Jeremiah. Jeremiah 1:11, the word of the Lord came to me. So this is the Lord basically teaching Jeremiah and how to hear and understand his voice. The word of the Lord came to me. What do you see, Jeremiah? I see a branch of an almond tree, I replied. The Lord said to me, you have seen correctly, for I'm watching to see that my word is fulfilled. All right, does that make any sense at all? No, unless you're reading it in Hebrew, because the word for olive tree is shaked, and watching over is shoked. The Lord was actually using a pun to speak to Jeremiah and saying, you're seeing well because you're getting this pun. That's wild, isn't it? You know? And you know, we've experienced that before. We were in a group one time and we were praying for our church and, you know, just kind of looking, praying. We had a praying for vision and stuff and what our purpose was. And One of the girls said, "I just see, I just see us in all in this river on this raft, and these all these porpoises are jumping all over the place." And so we said, "Okay, well, maybe the Lord has many porpoises for us." I'm just saying, this is, this is really, I mean, that's the Lord does speak in puns sometimes. Pay attention to that. All right. All right, and now it's important to, also to, if you get a revelation, pay attention to detail. Are there numbers involved? Is there colors involved? Because often that'll be used, important to how you think about it. All right, so just some important things to remember then are, our interpretations are not opinions. Okay, we're not giving our opinion. We're seeking the Lord for further understanding of what He's trying to minister to the other folks. It's, to seek the Lord on speaking on, we want to seek the Lord on the revelation. We want to seek the Lord on the interpretation as well. And like I said, don't depend on systems. Always be asking the Lord. That's what He wants to do. He wants to draw us into this conversation. Be asking the Lord and listening to what He says. Okay, now, like I mentioned, even those sometimes who are called prophets in the New Testament sometimes interpret things incorrectly. All right, look at the next passage. Acts 21, verse 7 says, "We continued our voyage from Tyre." Now, this is Paul coming back from his third missionary journey, and he's on his way to Jerusalem, and he gets a word of warning from a prophet called Agabus. All right, so we continued our voyage from Tyre and landed in Ptolemais, where we greeted the brothers and sisters and stayed with them for a day. Leaving the next day, we reached Caesarea and stayed at the house of Philip the evangelist, one of the seven. He had four unmarried daughters who prophesied. After we had been there a number of days, a prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. Coming over to us, he took Paul's belt, tied his own hands and feet with it, and said, "The Holy Spirit says, in this way, the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem will bind the owner of this belt and will hand him over to the Gentiles." All right. Now, so that's actually, a word of warning saying, look out when you get to Jerusalem, the Jews are going to arrest you and hand you over to the Gentiles. Now, what actually happened, though, when Paul went to Jerusalem, was that he was taken in protective custody by the Gentiles, by the Romans, in order to protect him from the Jews. So you see, even though the general idea was right that Paul was going to be bound, the details were not correct. That he didn't interpret what he was seeing quite correctly. So in Agabus' case, and remember, he's called a prophet, the prophet Agabus. In Agabus' case, the revelation was correct, but his interpretation was close, but it wasn't perfect. It wasn't exactly right. So even one who the scripture describes as a prophet got the interpretation of the revelation that he received slightly off. Now that should show us what? We're not going to be perfect either. Okay?
Well, it's probably worth it. You decided to go anyway.
Well, that's what we're going to talk about
Okay.
next. All right, so what should that tell us? If even somebody who's called a prophet in the scripture got something slightly wrong, should tell us to be humble, right? Be humble when we're doing this because we want to give what we feel like we're getting from the Lord. We want to couch our language in an air of uncertainty. Okay, so here Agabus is saying, "The Holy Spirit says." That's like saying, "Thus says the Lord." All right, Holy Spirit says, bam, bam, bam. We don't want to do that. In fact, when we're training in prophetic ministry, that's one of the rules against. So we don't say, "Thus says the Lord." Okay. We say things like, "I feel like this is what the Lord's showing me for you." The language of how we're speaking it needs to show the fact that we're, that we're fallible, that we can get it off a little bit, okay? Because it's really up to the person then to take what's spoken and to apply it to their lives to under make to receive it or to not receive it, okay? So the language that we use in delivering the word is really important, and we want to use the language of humility And the fact that, I feel like this is from the Lord, but I mean, this is me. It's coming through me. I feel like this is from him. Okay. All right. Now, based on the word that Paul just received from Agabus, the prophet, what would he be tempted to do? Not go to Jerusalem, right? But look at how he received it, Acts 21. And this is just an example of the fact that it's up to the person who receives the word and how to actually deal with it, whether or not to, how they're going to use that word to guide their actions. That's a good way to put it. Or Acts 21:12. When we heard this, we and the people there pleaded with Paul not to go up to Jerusalem. So all his friends heard the word from the prophet Agabus. No, you can't go. I mean, that's. Then Paul answered, "Why are you weeping and breaking my heart? I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." When he would not be dissuaded, we gave up and said, "The Lord's will be done." Okay. So did Paul let that prophetic word dissuade him from what he felt like the Lord was showing him to do? He was very convinced that the Lord was leading him to Jerusalem. He had to go to Jerusalem. The Lord was guiding him to go there, and he wasn't going to allow this prophetic revelation to dissuade him from what he felt like the Lord was doing. All right, now let me ask you a question. So that word that just that Agabus gave Paul, was that encouraging or strengthening or comforting? Hey, when you get to Jerusalem, you're going to be arrested, bound, and handed over to the Gentile authorities. Which of those three, encouraging or comforting or strengthening, would that be?
All
None of the above.
the
All right. And so here I think we can begin to draw a little bit of a distinction, which we'll talk about more next week, of a word of prophecy and a word given by a prophet. Agabus was a prophet. And so maybe somebody who's a prophet might have a little bit more leeway in the 1 Corinthians 14:3 guidelines, okay? But it's always hard to determine who's a prophet, who's not, or whatever. It's still up to the person receiving it. But as far as we're concerned, all right, before you can all prophesy, we want 1 Corinthians 14:3 to be our guideline in everything that we speak. Okay? All right. Now look back up at verse 9 again, Acts 21:9. And it said, now just to draw a little bit of a distinction, it said he, which is talking about Philip, had four unmarried daughters who prophesied. All right, so were they prophets? No, it doesn't say they were prophets. It just said they prophesied. He had four daughters who prophesied. After we'd been there a number of days, a prophet named Agabus came down from Jerusalem. All right, so whereas Agabus is identified specifically as a prophet, the daughters of Philip were not. They're just believers who prophesied. Okay, and so prophesying does not make someone a prophet. Okay, just because we're prophesying, we're ministering that gift of the Spirit, that doesn't mean that we're prophets. And we'll look at some of the distinctions next week. All right, so for the rest of this time, our time this week, what I want to do is just practice a little bit, okay? Because the way that we grow in doing this is by what?
Practice.
Doing it.
Practice.
Yeah, okay. And
Practice.
so now, before we do that, I put some practical do's and don'ts down here, okay?
That's what's killing me.
Yeah, right. So the do's of giving a prophetic word are 1 Corinthians 14:3. All right. Give words that strengthen, encourage, and comfort. All right. So if you get something from, for somebody, you feel like you're getting, what you want to do is frame what you say in such a way that it's going to be one of those three things. Okay. That's our only guideline, really. All right. Now, don'ts of prophecy, and this is kind of just by experience over the years, because we've seen so many people injured by prophetic words, or had given prophetic words that they're still waiting to come true or whatever, and or just or actually, they'll, I've seen people who've lost their faith, who walked away from the Lord because what they felt like was a prophetic word never came to pass for them, and so he came up with this list of kind of things to stay away from. Absolutely, okay? Because, and again, recognizing the fact that we see in part, we know in part, and we prophesy in part, we see in part, we're imperfect filters. through which things come. All right, so one thing that we definitely don't want to do is to prophesy something that we know in the natural. Okay, now this comes into account really if you're ministering a prophetic word to somebody you know. It's much easier. Susie Lee mentioned this last week. It's much easier to prophesy to somebody who's a total stranger because you don't have to worry about what you know about them in the natural interfering with the word that you're giving. But that doesn't mean that you can't do that. You know, if you do know something in the natural, you just want to identify it. Now, I know in the natural that you're a former teacher, but here's what I feel like for you, okay? And it might have something to do with your history as a teacher or whatever. But that way, I'm at least identifying for you the fact that I know, you know, as opposed to me, you being a stranger and me saying, I see you as a teacher, okay? So, just don't present something that you know naturally as being a prophetic word. That's a lack of integrity. But you wouldn't believe how many times we've seen that happen from even from so-called prophets, right? So, we'll talk about that next week. All right. We don't prophesy that babies are coming or the sex of babies. All right. That's just an incredibly raw area for a lot of women and or men too. But if you prophesy to somebody, I see you having a baby. In fact, there was one case where that's one of the instances where I saw a young woman, you know, walk away from the Lord. She'd been prophesied to many times that she was going to have this baby, and then that she never had the baby. And it's like, okay, God has abandoned me. I mean, she literally walked away from the Lord because she felt like the Lord was not being faithful to her and these words that she held on to. But those were words that never should have been given. Okay. This is just too emotionally charged to ever do that. Okay. We don't prophesy marriages. Oh my gosh. The number of young women who, you know, felt like somebody prophesied a marriage to them and then the type of husband. And so they would actually bypass guys who probably would have been good husbands for the sake of finding this one that was given in a prophetic word. And I mean, it's just don't do that. Okay. It's way too emotionally charged. We don't want to, and we want to recognize the fact that we see in part. Now, you might see something about a marriage when you're ministering prophetically to somebody, but don't give that as a word. Just use that as information to pray, because the Lord is going to show us stuff for a way to pray for people too. We don't pray that someone's a prophet or an apostle, because that's the scripturally, that's the prerogative of the Lord to identify those. And we don't prophesy moves. Okay, I see you move into another area. Oh my gosh. The number of people who've come to Charleston because it got prophesied to them, they're supposed to live in Charleston, and then they get here and they're still searching for whatever it is that they felt they were going to find here. And especially don't prophesy people into your church or ministry. Don't tell people, hey, I see you as part of this fellowship or whatever. But that's just manipulation. We'll talk about that next week. But one of the main corruptions of prophetic ministry is manifest in manipulation,
Running our children's program.
which using a prophetic word, using prophetic, there's a word for using a prophetic insight in order to manipulate a person. And you know what that word is? Witchcraft.
Oy.
Yeah. Okay.
We say no dates, no mates, no human blood.
Oh, those are good ones.
That's right.
All right. So we got a little bit of time left. So let's just practice this, okay? All right, y'all. What I'm gonna do is I'm gonna write a name down on this piece of paper. Okay, so y'all won't really know who it is. You might know the person, you might not know the person. All right, then we're gonna ask the Lord. I'm gonna pray and ask the Lord to give us words of encouragement for this person. All right, now what you want to do is just kind of still your mind as much as you can while I'm praying. And then pay attention to the very first thing that comes into it. The very first thing that comes into your mind. Like I said, it might be a picture, might be a song, might be a scripture. And then ask the Lord, okay, so what does that mean for this person? And then turn that into a word of encouragement for them. All right. And we're going to speak it. I'm going to write it down, and then we'll give it to the to the person on the on this net on this page here. Okay, how's that sound?
Exciting.
You got Eddie looked perplexed.
Well, this person I don't know. You're right.
Yeah, you won't matter. Just this, I'm on.
Us.
No, not necessarily.
Not,
no, not necessarily.
Oh.
No, it could be anybody.
Okay.
But the Lord knows the name I write down here, right? Okay, so
I mean,
all right. So the Lord knows what their name I'm going to write down here. Okay, this is just an exercise. You know, rather than saying, okay, let's all prophesy for Dad, it's going to be hard for us to do that because we all know him, right? And so let's just say I'm going to write the name down here, and I'm going to ask the Lord to give us prophetic word of encouragement for this person. Okay. Now, so just trust that the Lord knows who this is, and he's going to give you something that is going to encourage this person. All right. And then I'm going to give them these words later on so that it will encourage them. Okay. All right. So write down a name. Turn it over. Make notes. And all right. So you ready? All right. Well, Lord, we thank you so much for this person whose name is on this piece of paper. Thank you for your love for them, for your grace and kindness and mercy that you pour out on them. Lord, I pray that you would bless them with a word of encouragement from you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Mark, that's what you got? Okay. So what? Anything beyond that? What does the Lord mean by that, do you think?
Well, just, you want me to elaborate?
Yes.
The sports therapist I've been going to for years, I mean, he's really good with people. He's got a real hard goal and thinks, I mean, he does everything for other people and doesn't do much for himself. I never thought. It's always all about healing people. And so I've been going to him. I mean, I haven't been going. I didn't have a reason to go to him. And then my neck started hurting when I was swimming. And I said, I'm going to go see Mark. And so I went there, and the Lord, I mean, I knew I had to pray for him at some point, but I didn't really know how to or when. And so the time wasn't right. I said, after the first couple of times, I think I went two three times. After one time, I said, well, afterwards, I said, you got a minute? He said, no, I got three people waiting, and I got still no time. So I said, okay. Thought, well, it's not the right time. So next time I went, wasn't anybody real clear. He didn't have anybody scheduled. I said, you got a minute? He said, yeah. I said, so I had, there was a room in the back, and I had that waiting for him. It wasn't awkward, but he didn't want to come in the room, so I stood in the passageway, and he stood outside, and I said, I'm going to pray for you. And I said, you spent your life healing people, and you can't heal yourself. And I know you've got some issues that you're dealing with, and I just want to let you know that there's somebody that can heal you. And so I prayed that the Lord would bring him peace and minister to him with what he was wrestling with. And I hadn't been able to get that off of my mind, and I actually prayed for him one more time. And he really, I mean, I could tell that he, I didn't really, you know, I was praying to encourage him, but it didn't, I mean, I never, the words I said were meant to encourage, but that isn't what came to me. It was just from the Lord.
Okay, so how would you make that into a concise prophetic word for this person on this piece of paper?
a word of encouragement.
Yeah.
That there is somebody out there that can. I was trying to introduce him to the Lord.
Well, let me tell you what I wrote based on what you were saying. Okay. Lord sees your heart to serve and minister to others. That's how, the way you see Mark. Okay. God is your healer and the source of your strength. That's basically what I got as a prophetic word out of what you were just describing. Okay. All right. Somebody else. First thing that came to mind.
I got a picture of just a mountain and a person looking up. And so obviously I knew it was a scripture. So I looked up and it's Psalm 121:1. I lift up my eyes to the mountains and where does my help come from? And that this person knows that he is their helper. He is their helper.
You know, God is your helper. Now, so those two to me kind of go together.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And you'll see that a lot, that, you know, it's kind of like they build on each other. Yeah.
But I, in part of it's from my anxiety and all that, but I could feel my heart beating and I felt like we would, you know, throw our heart to God.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And how you look at something, you close your eyes, you see the reverse thing of it. Well, while you were praying, I was looking out the window. So when I closed my eyes, I saw this outline of the window. So the word window just flashed at me. And when I asked what that could mean, what I felt was that this person has been looking out of the window and the Lord didn't want him afraid. Don't be afraid to go out instead of just looking out from the window.
Hmm. Okay.
How did you put that down concisely?
I just put down window. You've been looking out. Don't fear stepping out instead of going out. Yeah. So lots of times the people that are receiving this will know exactly what it means. Yeah.
I just had a picture of a little pond or lake, calm water, blue water, and kind of a dark hill sloping into that lake that you could see right down through the calm, clear water. Hilly, but it was dark. You can just see the clear water.
Okay.
Calm
water. All right, good.
Greg, can you hear me? Can you hear me, Greg?
Yes, I can hear you. Yes. What you got, Ashley?
Well, I saw a well-tended vegetable garden in like a fertile field. The soil looked really rich. It was a really good sunny day. And it looked like it was close to harvest time. It looked like there was a lot of produce starting to happen. And the scripture that popped into my head was, your labor is not in vain.
Wow.
I have something for Beverly too.
Okay. All right, so Beverly texted you. Thanks, Ashley. That's really good.
I see this person standing and holding up their hands. I believe that God wants them to spend time in his presence worshiping him.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've got something.
Okay.
I've been writing stuff as you've been talking. You know, I didn't have any idea if this is for them or not, but then when that came in, I saw a filter, like in AI, you put things in and it filters it for you.
Mm-hmm.
I saw them putting things into Jesus and letting him filter things, that Jesus is the perfect filter. And I got that they are made perfect. That's Psalms 139:14. And I also saw a tree of righteousness.
Okay.
And then I also saw worship. I saw that they're a true worshiper. And
That's all.
James 1:5.
What is
that? James 1:5. Okay. Anybody else?
I saw a shooting star, and I just had a sense that this person is continually seeking the Lord, and as they go along the path of life, that if the Lord wanted to encourage them, he was with them each step of the way. And he shows them, sometimes it's a bright way, sometimes it's more subtle, like a shining star, bright, shooting star or just stars. But the scripture about as you make your plans, the Lord directs your steps.
Okay. Anybody else want to give something before we finish? So let's say that last part again, Susie. That's the Lord.
As you make your plans, the Lord directs your
Okay.
steps.
Okay. Ray is the person. So we'll give it, I'll give this to him. Ray Easter. So I think there's a lot of good stuff for him here. In fact, I get emotional here. A lot of good stuff for him.
I'm not gonna, it's not allowed. It's not
Yeah,
allowed.
right. all right. Way to go, y'all. So see, that may seem like it's just nothing. I mean, it may seem like it's coming from out of nothing. I mean, very small things, but I can promise you that a lot of this stuff is really going to encourage him and really speaks to who he is as a person, because the Lord loves him and wants to encourage him. And so Lord, thank you for who you are. Thank you for your passion to encourage your children. Thank you that you're not disconnected from us, that you know us better than we know ourselves, that you know how to lead and guide and encourage us, Lord. Thank you for Ray, for his long life lived in faithfulness to you, Lord. Thank you that you have been the one who's directed him all these years, Lord. Thank you that he has known you as his helper, Lord. Thank you that just for the peace and the calmness of who he is as a person. But we pray that you would strengthen him in these years when his body is feeling weak, Lord, that you would strengthen him in body, soul, and spirit, Lord. Thank you for the hope of the resurrection that you've so firmly implanted in his heart and mind. And Lord, just bless him with peace and joy all the remaining days of his life, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Very good, y'all. Thanks, Ashley. Good to see you.